Please join me in centering ourselves for worship today. Heavenly Father, let the meditation of my tongue and the that's not what it is, but would you please join me in a prayer before we receive the message? Heavenly Father, bless my tongue as I speak the words to the community watching this video. Bless their hearts as they meditate upon your word. Grant all of us understanding. Allow me to speak your truths and them to understand your heart. In your holy name, amen. Well, this is a super exciting time. You finally get to figure out why we're in the kitchen. And, spoiler alert, it's not just to see me in a green plaided apron. It is because we're going to be talking about yeast and bread and how that all works together. But before all that, let's take a look at what we've already done in these past few weeks. In this kingdom of Kingdomtide, we've had several parables. The parable of the sower in the field planting the good seed, the parable of the different soils and what the different soils are. And this week we have a whole plethora of parables, and they're telling us about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God looks like. So walk with me as we work through each parable individually, because some of them are similar, but some of them are radically different. And so the first one that we hear about is the parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And it's a seed that when planted in the ground, it's very, very small. But when given the chance to grow, it blossoms into a huge plant, big enough for the birds of the air to come and nest in it. And so now in America, our mustard seeds don't grow that big, but in ancient Israel, then they did, and that was one of their staple crops that they grew. And then we hear about the parable of the yeast and how this tiny bit of yeast can affect a whole batch and help it to rise, help it to become greater. It affects the whole thing, just as we can affect the whole world. And now the thing about yeast is, especially within the biblical sense, is it's more often than not considered a negative thing, which makes it so surprising that Jesus would use this imagery to communicate the kingdom of God. Paul talks to his followers in Corinth about how one bad egg can affect the rest of the people in the church, corrupting them and making the church less than what it is. And there are other stories throughout the Old Testament about yeast corrupting and yeast being compared to that of sin, and it corrupts the whole being of a person. And of course, there are different diseases and other things that can happen because of yeast. And so it's really, really strange that Jesus uses yeast as his center point for this parable. And so I'm going to bake some bread as we expand upon that yeast idea. And so I'm going to have Kevin come over here. One thing about yeast is it has to be activated. And so when we started, I put this yeast in some sugar water for it to help activate. And as you can kind of see, it started to cream up. And ideally, we would have it cream up all the way and the whole thing would be creamed. But for the purposes of today, we'll have it just the way it is. So it's this kind of creamy stuff that shows that the yeast is activated. But by itself, this mixture isn't good. It doesn't do anyone any good. It's not good to eat at all. So you need to add a few other things in order to make it into something good. So you add some sugar. And we need a bit of salt. And we need some vegetable oil. And so you also get a cooking lesson today as well. So, and you add that in there and set that there and clean up afterwards. So mix it all together and get that all mixed up, get the rest of the sugar dissolved in there. And then comes the most important part, and that is the flour. And so we're going to add a few cups of flour to this, and adding it in one cup at a time, it's going to get thicker and it's going to get bigger into that nice way that we want it. And so actually I'm going to be making 3 loaves of bread today. If you turn your attention to these 3 pans, I'm going to make one that has no yeast in it, so it's going to be unleavened, and I'm going to show you what it looks like for bread to have no yeast. We're going to make one that has yeast, but I'm not going to knead it or work it at all. I'm just going to simply add it and mix it up so that it's sticks together, and then put it into the oven. And then the third one, we're going to pull out all the stops, and we're going to bake it just about exactly as the recipe makes it. And we'll see kind of the comparison of how that all works. And so we're getting close here, mixing this up. Now that we've got the flour mixed into the bowl, we can start kneading it. And so this is an extremely important step for anyone who makes bread. If you want good bread, you have to knead it, and it takes a while, and you have to really work it through and get all the air out of there and get it really worked, because that not only does that help activate the yeast more, but it forms the bread and makes it more pliable and bigger and better in general. And so just like this bread, we as people, we need other people around us, pun intended there. We need people to form us. We have that seed of yeast. We have that little bit of yeast when we hear the word of God. But if we hear it and we do nothing with it, and we don't challenge ourselves, and we don't grow, we don't go anywhere. We stay static. And we might be accepted into the kingdom of God, but we aren't going to be very useful. So we need people to form us. We need people to question us, push back on us. And sometimes those questions, they can tear us apart, and our faith can be almost shattered. But at the same time, once we do overcome that tearing apart, we come back together, and we end up stronger than ever, stronger in our faith, more easily able to bring the kingdom of God into the earth here. And so who are you needing? Who are you helping to grow? Who are you helping? Who has been someone who has needed you? It's not necessarily the planter of the yeast who ends up forming the bread. It could be someone else. It could be anyone. And while I'm doing it all today, I'm sure there have been numerous people who have helped to shape you, informed you throughout your life, and changed you. Okay, so now that we have successfully kneaded the bread and put it into the oven, we have cooked it, and we can see what we've done. And so this was actually done last night. We have the bread cooking right now, but I have the 3 loaves here. Here is our perfect loaf. Here is our leavened bread, our masterpiece that we needed and we made to be really good. And I'm sure it's going to taste awesome. And next, we have the bread that had the yeast, but it was not molded at all. And it's kind of dry, and it looks kind of gross. But it still did rise quite a bit, though. And then right here, we have the bread without any yeast. You can see the inside. You can see the outside. It is pretty small. It was about the length of this one, I will say. But someone, Cal Hayen, ended up eating half of it this morning, which is fine, because you can still see the difference in the thickness between this one and even the one with the yeast. And so that's just kind of the last bit of the demonstration about how the yeast works and how we can form the yeast and be the yeast for each other in our lives. And so now that we're past the yeast parables, we go inside the house. We go away from the crowds with Jesus as he steps away from them with his disciples. And we sit at his feet as he explains some parables to us. And then he tells us two new ones. The parables he told to the crowds were made sense. They made sense in their minds. They were part of the natural processes. But the new ones are that he tells them are almost incomprehensible. They don't make sense. It's almost chaos. And so he tells about this man who finds the treasure, and he's so excited that he buries the treasure in a field he doesn't even own. He doesn't think, "Oh, I could bring this to my house." No, he just buries it right there on the spot, and then realizes later that he needs to own the field to have it. And then we have this merchant of pearls, who's traveled near and far, east and west, all the way even to the coast of India, trading pearls, fine pearls, rough pearls, big pearls, small pearls. But he finds one that is so perfect, so precious, and so valuable that it makes all of his other collection absolutely worthless in the sight. He gives up all of them for this one pearl that represents the kingdom of God. And this is crazy, right? Because logistically, if these guys go and they sell all of their possessions, they're not gonna have any money for food or anything. But that's just how consuming Jesus wants the kingdom work to be for the disciples. He knows that they're going to face discrimination, persecution, and that they can't be worrying about food or things like that. They have to be focused on that pearl. And as do we have to be focused on that treasure that is greater than anything that this life could have to offer. And then after those two parables, he shares the story of the angels with the fisher net, taking up the fish and separating them out, which is almost exactly like the parable of the wheat and the weeds, but with fish. And so it communicated to the disciples better because many of them were fishermen by trade, and so they maybe perhaps understood this parable a bit better than the parable of the weeds. And then he says something really weird to them. He says, "Do you understand all this?" And they say, "Yes." "Okay, good. Because you need to be going to be able to have to call upon the old and the new if you're going to be teaching." And this is kind of a baffling verse, like the old and the new, what's that? But then you put things in context and you realize Jesus knows he's going to leave, he's going to be gone, and the disciples are going to be on their own. It's going to be up to them to plant seeds throughout the nation and to grow the kingdom of God. And they're going to run into trials that none of them had even thought of. They're going to face things that haven't been written down yet, things that Jesus himself didn't even face. So not only are they going to have to call upon the knowledge of the Old Testament and Jesus' teachings, but they're going to have to be able to act in new ways and to share things in new ideas, so that to communicate the gospel to different people. And so he's trying to prepare them for that moment when he is gone. And so now we get the fun part of we've heard all of these parables, and we get to zoom out and we get to look at all of them as a whole. And so we have a seed that can do so much, either in the way of good or evil, affecting everything it touches, corrupting or sustaining everything it meets. It will do both good and evil, produce wheat and weeds alongside it, depending on what type of soil it's in. Sometimes they're going to go to a place and they're going to preach and they're going to be on fire, and all of their seeds, all their words are going to fall on the rocks and the birds are going to sweep them up. And sometimes they're going to plant it and there's going to be the church is going to receive them, but there's too much strife on the inside that it's not going to work out. But that persistency is going to be key in all of this, because they have this treasure that's so invaluable that they have to go and they have to share it, no matter how many failures they come across. And so, because and that treasure is greater than them, it's greater than all of their lives, all their achievements, and they're going after the kingdom of God. And so I ask you, where are you at today? Where are you at? Do you see yourself as a sower of seeds, a sower of yeast? Do you see those seeds come into fruition? Do you feel like they don't do anything? Where are you at? Do you see this treasure of the kingdom of God that completely blocks out everything? And the air conditioner turned on, and that's why I just froze. But do you see everything, the greatness of God's kingdom that can affect your life? It's all right if you don't. You'll get there. That seed is still growing inside you. The yeast is still expanding inside you. People are still molding and forming you. Would you close in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the chance that we get to hear your stories in new ways. Help us as we go through our lives, Lord, to think more and more of bringing your kingdom as yeast, as something that can be formative and can bring goodness into the world, affecting everything we touch. Help us to see where the seeds we planted have grown. Help us to see who we might need to form. For God, you are great, and be with us as we do these things, for we can do nothing without you. You are great, and you are powerful, and you are mighty. Amen.